Okay, Sichos Haran Os Nun Dalet. It's a great piece, a little piece. Hashem Yizbarach Eino Osa Shnei Pa'amim Davar Echad. Hashem never does the same thing twice. Hashem Yizbarach Eino Osa Shnei Pa'amim Davar Echad. Hashem never does the same thing twice. Ki Afilu Gilgulim Ein Zos HaNeshama Nisgalgeles Pa'am Shnia Kamos Shihi. That even a Gilgul, people wonder, what's a Gilgul? What's a Gilgul? Reincarnation. Right? A neshama that's being sent back to this world. So, if you've ever thought about Gilgulim, one of the questions that really bother people is, hold on a second. So you're telling me my neshama was once in this world. I once existed. So let's say at the end of my lifetime, I pass away. And I lived a lifetime before that, in the 1700s, and a lifetime before that, in the 1300s, and a lifetime before that, in the year 850. Right? So when Tchiyas HaMeisim takes place, which version of me is going to come back? Is the version of me from the 21st century going to come back? Is the version of me from the 18th century going to come back? Is the version of me from the 15th century going to come back? Right? How does that work? How does Gilgul work? Did I look the same when I was here the first time? Physically? My neshama is the same in a different body? Was I like a totally different person? Sometimes in Gilgulim, there's changing of male and female neshamas. I mean, there's a lot of really complicated things that happen. So Rabbi Nachman writes here very clearly that even a Gilgul is not exactly the same. Even if you have been here before in this world, I was born in Philadelphia in 1981. So whatever my Philly pride, the brotherhood. So even if my neshama had once been born in, I don't know, in Mezhvuz, many years before that, right? It wasn't exactly the same. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never does the exact same thing twice. Just take a look for half a second at source number 6. The first time I actually ever encountered this idea, and at the time I was very taken by it, because I always had this question about Gilgulim, is in the writings of the Chidah. The Chidah, Chaim Yosef David Azulai, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the great Svardi, unbelievable Gon, wrote in all areas of Torah, Halacha, Drush, Kabbalah, we have many, many tens of volumes of writings from the Chidah. So he has a small sefer of ideas arranged alphabetically called Midbar Kademot. And he writes, under the entry for Gilgul, one of his entries for Gilgul, he writes in source number 6, Gilgul, Bechol Gilgul, Nitakna Nitzotzos Rabos. In every Gilgul, and every time that you're reincarnated, every time you come to this world, you're fixing different sparks, right? It's a concept of spiritual lights, spiritual sparks. V'olim b'madregosim haru'uya lahem. And you're trying to lift them up to their proper place. Meaning you're on a mission. Person's on a mission. This idea of elevating sparks means doing your job in this world, in the simplest way. V'shar nitzotzos sh'adayin lo netaknu, ba'im gilgul pamacharas. And if you didn't finish your job, if you didn't restore everything to its proper place, the world is a mess. We're sent here with a shlichus to clean up the mess. If you didn't finish the job, so you have to come around again. But says the Chidah where it's bolded, uvezet havin L'chol Gilgul she'enam mamish harishonim rak b'chinos nitzotzos mamish. But when you come back to finish, so to speak, your original mission, you're working on different aspects of something that was connected to the original mission. So there's like this broad mission. Your first life, you were focused on a certain aspect of that mission. You didn't finish it. So when you came back, you're really on a totally new mission, but it's somehow connected to the previous mission. How does Rabbi Nachman explain it? Let's go back now to Sichos Haran. Rabbi Nachman says it in terms of a neshama is a complicated thing. A neshama is not a simple, one-dimensional organism. Neshama has many levels and expressions to it. So therefore, Rabbi Nachman says, so for example, Ragzos ha-nefesh, imzeh ha-ruach, v'kiyotze bazeh ki-yadua. There may be a different combination of the various parts of your soul. So for example, we know from Chazal, already the Medrash tells us, certainly much more is said in Sifrei Chassidus and Kabbalah, that there are five names or dimensions to the soul. What are the five names and dimensions of the soul? Yes, Velvel? One of our senior scholars, for those who don't know, this is Velvel, he's one of the senior scholars in the shir. Yes? Okay, Nefesh. We're going from the bottom up, from the lowest level of soul to the highest level of soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Chesed Hei, Chaya, and Yechida. Five levels of soul, again, from the bottom up. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. If you see in Sfarim sometimes, Naran, Nun Resh Nun. That stands for Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Chaya, and Yechida. Those are the five levels of the soul. So Rabbi Nachman says, maybe the Nefesh aspect of you as you exist right now, body and soul right now, sitting in this shir room, right, has a certain... Maybe the Nefesh aspect of you is connected to the Nefesh aspect of you that lived 1,000 years ago. But maybe the Ruach aspect of you is different now. Right? So there's a commonality, there's something that you have in common with your original self, so to speak. But Rabbi Nachman says there's always some type of rearrangement of the parts. Our 13-year-old came downstairs last night. She thinks like her bedtime's like midnight now. I don't know where she got that idea. So she comes downstairs, it's like 11 o'clock. So I said, Gabrielle, listen to this piece. So we learned this little piece together. And she says, like, what do you mean? Like, she like tapped on my desk. She said, like, look, I'm doing the same thing twice. I said, no, you're not. Because the time that you did the first bang on the desk was different in world history than the time you banged on the desk the second time. Right? So then she took two breaths. I said, and each breath is different. Right? It took place at a different time. So even if the action's superficial, and I said, and also maybe you inhaled a little bit more the first time and a little bit less the second time. You may not notice that difference, but Hashem did. So now I'm already explaining it from our perspective, but let's talk about it first from Hashem's perspective, because that's where Rabbi Nachman starts. Hashem Yisbarach Eino Osa Shnei Pa'amim Davar Echad. Hashem never does the same thing twice. This is the ultimate expression of Hashem's oneness. Right? The fact that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is entirely unique, is one of a kind, that's an amazing expression of Hashem's oneness. It's funny, because in an ironic way, it creates much more, you know, because there's so many individual things, it looks like there's a lot of things. But really, because Hashem is the absolute oneness, everything in the world has a dimension of that individuality, because everything is created and constructed by Hashem. So that becomes the practical takeaway for ourselves, right? If Hashem doesn't do anything twice, so that means, wait a minute, hold on. That's a call to me to understand the uniqueness of my life. That's an opportunity for me to recognize the uniqueness of every given moment. It's not, we learn Sichos Haran, you know, many times over the semester. No, every day when we open this Sefer, not only are we learning a different piece, right, but the experience is entirely new. Vayu hadvar me'ela asher anochi mitzavecha hayom. The way that we absorb Torah today has to be hayom, entirely new. As if today is the first time we've ever met each other. It's the first time we're ever learning Torah together. It's the first time we ever heard of Rabbi Nachman. It's the first time we ever heard of Gilgal. Every idea has to be, what do you mean? But it's connected to the fact that I knew a little bit about this idea. I knew a little bit about Rabbi Nachman before. I knew a little bit about Sichos Haran before. Right? I knew a little bit about Daniel Borden before. But every experience is entirely unique. That's an amazing idea. I'll take your question one second. Let's just finish the piece. Nimtza she'achshav, kishazeh ha'nefesh miskabeitz im ha'ruach. So right now, as the soul, the dimensions of soul, the nefesh and the ruach are being joined together, right? It's with a ruach acher. It's with a different ruach. It may be the same nefesh with a different ruach. It may be the same ruach with a different nefesh. This is such an important idea when it comes to tefillah. People get frustrated. It's the same Shmona Esrei again and again and again. Of course it's not. What are you talking about? Every Shmona Esrei is totally different. There's a new chola to daven for. Right? There's a new job interview that I'm trying to get. Right? There's a new thing I'm saying I'm sorry for because I did in the Vera. Right? There's a new tefillah that I'm daven. Every tefillah is entirely unique. You could daven Mincha Maariv back to back, as they do in some shuls, with like a 5-minute break in between, but the circumstances have changed. You have to see it as a unique a unique conversation with Hashem. Not just having the same conversation two times in a row, 10 minutes apart. It's a totally unique conversation with Hashem. I read a pasuk. I've read this pasuk before. No, you haven't. You never read it at this stage of your life, in this context, right? In this moment. And that it gives a tremendous energy to everything that we do when we're able to see it as entirely special and entirely unique. So says Rabbi Nachman, so when the nefesh and the ruach are being combined in a particular pattern at this moment in time, shuv ein ze ma shehayah kodem. It's not. It might superficially. No, Rabbi Nachman's always good to us. It's a good piece to start the new semester. Like, are we continuing where we left off, or are we starting something totally new? Are we returning to Shir? Are we in the same room with the same sefer and the same cornflake crumbs still on my desk from a month ago? Schnell texted me last night. He's like, just be forewarned. I've been trying to get them to like straighten up our rooms for a month, and whatever. It's not happening yet. Right? But no, this is the first time that this cornflake crumb is still on my desk, you know, at this moment in time. So it's a unique moment in time. And he ends the piece again by being chozer to what he said in the opening line, ki ein Hashem yizbarach osa shnei pa'amim davar echad. It's impossible for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to do the same thing twice. It would negate the uniqueness and the all-encompassing knowledge and ability of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to have to, you know, run replays. Hashem always has good, fresh, new, exciting material. Okay, Michal.
Okay, early when we went to source number six.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first lifespan that someone has their neshama. The Ferdama's lifespan.
Right.
They have a mission, and if they don't get out, they get it.
They have to come back. Right.
It's sort of a new
mission. Right? It's a new mission because it's taking place in a different time, in a different body, in a different... But it's linked to the first mission.
It's somewhat of a shout-out that you didn't do your job the first time around, but B, it's Hashem giving you a second chance to have an opportunity to go.
Yeah, Gilgal is a very scary idea because it's confronting the fact that I failed. Right? But it also, there's an inspiring aspect to it, like you're saying, that Hashem is willing to give me another shot.
Okay, so is there a reason why the neshama itself has to change a little bit? One of these five aspects has to change?
It's part of the fact that Hashem, again, can't do the same thing twice.
Okay.
Right? Can't. There's something God can't do. So that gets into like the question, you know, can God make a rock that he can't lift? And that's not a limitation. The fact that Hashem does everything in the most unique, special way is not a bad thing. Right? God's inability to do something imperfect is not a chisaron. God is perfect. God is perfect in his oneness. Okay? So I want to try to understand Hashem's oneness and then try to understand for ourselves how this plays out in terms of our, again, unique life experience and appreciating the oneness of every moment of our lives. Let's start with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tov Yud Zayin, Mitzvah 417. Sefer HaChinuch, of course, is written by a Rishon. Exactly who wrote it, we're not 100% sure, although there are different studies and suggestions about who it was. We know his name was Rav Aaron Halevi, but we're not sure necessarily who he was. And the Sefer HaChinuch, compiled for his son a list of the 613 mitzvos for his son to study on Shabbos afternoon because he felt his son was bored, as he writes in the introduction. Give him something to do to stay out of trouble. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, Mitzvah 417, Shenitztavinu lahamin, ki Hashem yisbarach hu ha-poel kol ha-metzios adon ha-kol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is responsible for all of metzios, for all of reality. Hashem creates and guides all the reality. He's the adon ha-kol, he's the master of all. As we begin and end our tefillos, adon olam. Right? We start davening with adon olam, Shabbos we also end davening with adon olam. That's the bookends of our life, to not recognize that Hashem is in charge. Echad b'li shum shituf. This is one of the six constant mitzvos, right, that the Sefer HaChinuch tells us about. Chavetz Chaim brings it in the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha. Six mitzvos a person has to be mindful of at all times, or try to be. One of them is the oneness of Hashem. I think about the Achdus Hashem, B'li Shum Shituf, that Hashem has no other partner. It's our acceptance of mitzvos twice daily. Shema Yisrael Shenemar, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's one of the first things a Jew learns in this world. It's hopefully the dying sentence of our life. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The perfect oneness of Hashem. Vizo mitzvah sasehi. And this is, in fact, the real mitzvah. Right? This is not just a fact. Oh yeah, God is one. No. There's a mitzvah for you to believe it and to be mindful of it. Eina hagada aval peirush shema klomar kabel mimeni davar zeh. This is not just a nice idea, but it's something we're being told to live with it. Shema, internalize, not just hear it. Not just allow it to go in one ear and out the other ear. But to try to internalize it in a deep way, to hold on to this idea. To make sure that you fully absorb this idea. Kabel mimeni davar zeh. Vida'eyu v'hamin bo. Ki Hashem shehu Elokeinu echad hu. To believe, unlike some other religions, that our God, we believe in one God, v'zehu. The famous line that the Friedrich Rebbe said to the interrogator with a gun held to his head, right? And he was trying to, you know, coerce him to give up information. So the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, said to him, he said, a person who believes in many gods and one world is scared of a gun, scared of a revolver. A person who believes in one God and many worlds is not scared of a gun. You kill me and I go on to the next world, a better world, a more perfect world. I die al Kiddush Hashem. I believe in the same one God. It doesn't scare me. Right? That's a person who's living with that full awareness of the oneness of Hashem.
Was he spared?
And he was spared, yeah. Yeah, the interrogator backed off. He said, yeah, it worked. And it wasn't just a psychological trick. It was his commitment in the Muna and Bitachar and Hashem that saved him. V'haraya shezuhi mitzvah saseh, and the proof that this is in fact a mitzvah, Amram zichronam levracha tamid b'midrashim, amenas liyached shemo. What's the proof that this is in fact a mitzvah? Right? Because we find Chazal used the expression of being miyached shemo. Something you're supposed to do. It's not just something that, like, you know it, you hear it once in your life, and then you put it aside. It's something you're supposed to live with. You're supposed to constantly be living with that awareness, to be miyached shemo. What does that mean? To declare the oneness, to express the oneness, to believe in the oneness. Kedei lekabel alav malchus shemayim. What does it mean to accept upon yourself malchus shemayim? I accepted it. Maybe at your bar mitzvah you should have like an official acceptance ceremony. Do you believe in the oneness of God? So you say to the rabbi in your squeaky bar mitzvah voice, yes, I do. Today I'm a man. Yes, I do. Yeah. Okay. Good. You're sure are a man today, the young man. Yeah. So you accept it. And what does it mean? Why do I have to? I'm constantly Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why am I constantly reviewing it? And what do Chazal mean when they talk about being mekabel alav ol malchus shemayim? The answer is yeah. It's a constant. It's a constant mitzvah. Klomer ha'uda biyichud ve'amuna. To constantly express my belief and awareness of that absolute oneness. The Jewish people are the people who are entrusted. It's our avoda to make sure that this oneness is recognized in the world. The Zohar writes that Kutchabrichu Yisrael v'oraisa chadhu. The Zohar writes in Parshas Achrei Mos, if I'm not mistaken, that the Jewish people, the Torah, and Hashem. I say it differently. Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah are one. So we usually think of it that what? That there's a unity, right? There's a bond. There's a connection between Hashem and Klal Yisrael and the Torah. But it could also be that just as Hashem is one, the Torah has a certain oneness to it. There's something unique about every encounter with Torah. And the same thing is true for the Jewish people, for every Jewish person. There's a oneness that each and every one of us have been endowed with, that we're expected to live with. That Hashem trusts us to be the ones to be miyached shemo ba'olamo, to make sure that Hashem's oneness is pronounced in the world, to be the ones to declare Hashem Echad. Maharal writes in his volume on Chanukah and Galus, in the Ner Mitzvah, in source number 3, Ki ikar kvodo mashehu yisbarach echad ba'olamo ve'ein zu lasso. Davar ze mematim haumos. this greatest glory and honor that we give to Hashem by recognizing His oneness in the world, the Ein Zu Laso, and there is none besides Him, says the Maharal, Davar Zeh Mematim Ha'umos. The nations of the world, what? They lessen it. They make it smaller. They try to reject this oneness. They try to reject the notion that Ein Od Milvado, that Hashem fills all of reality and God is always in control and there are no hiding spots. However, says the Maharal so beautifully, V'lo nivra'u l'zeh rak Yisrael. But the Jewish people are the ones who are in charge of what? Of believing it, internalizing it, and then spreading the word that there's only one God and that He's fully in charge. Shehem am echad. That we are, says the Maharal, v'am echad. Think about it. The Pasuk says in the Navi Yecheskel about Avram Avinu, echad haya Avraham. Avram, who's the founder, so to speak, of Yiddishkeit, the first one to discover Hashem, he's called an echad. He's Avram Ivri. He thinks differently than the world. There's a uniqueness to him. But that's true for all of the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Avos were, each one was unique and different. And that's true about each and every one of us and about each and every experience in our life. Says the Maharal, Kamo Sheramaz HaKasuv Amzu Yatzarti Li Tihilasi Yisaperu. This nation has been created for me, and they will sing my praise. I trust Klal Yisrael to make sure that the world knows about the oneness of Hashem. Other nations will come up with all sorts of strange systems of you know, multiple gods or divisions of gods or different types of gods, different kochos. By us, it's just one. It's all one. Ki Masha Amar, in the third line, source 3. Ki Masha Amar Amzu. What did the Pasuk say in Yeshaya? Amzu Yatzarti Li. This nation was created for me. What's Amzu? The Maharal was someone who was sensitive to gematria, numerology, is paying attention to the numbers. The Maharal says, what's the gematria of the word zu? 13. Ava and Echad. Right, the Maharal says, Ki Masha Amar Am Zu B'Misparo Yud Gimel. The word Zu, which is Gematria 13, Hu Mispar Echad, is the same Gematria as the word Echad. Aleph Ches Dal, it is Gematria 13. So the Maharal says, when Hashem calls us Am Zu, he's going to explain, but there's a oneness. Whether you're from Shevet Dan or Shevet Naphtali, we all have a unique mission, an individual mission, but we also have one mission, which is what? To spread the oneness of Hashem through the world. Says the Maharal, Ki Yisrael him Yud Gimel Shvatim. On the one hand, yes, we are 13 different tribes. Im Sheva Levi, if we count Sheva Levi, Ki Ephraim Menashe Shnayim him. Right? Also understanding the division within Shevet Yosef, that Ephraim Menashe count as two separate tribes. Ukamo Shehu Milas Echad, Kain Hayu HaShvatim. Now this is such an amazing Maharal. The Maharal says, look at the word Echad, which is Gematria 13, alluding to the 13 tribes, and understand how Aleph, Ches, Dalid actually highlights the breakdown of the tribes. 184. What's 184? Says the Maharal like this. Shevet Levi, who Shevet Miyuchad V'Nivdol Mishar Shvatim. The Aleph of Echad represents which Shevet? Which Shevet is most unique in its dedication to spreading, you know, the word of God? Teaching Klal Yisrael, running the Beis Hamikdash, Shevet Levi. So Shevet Levi is the Aleph of the word Echad. It's Miyuchad and it's Nivdal, right? As the Pesukim described in Sefer Bamidbar, that Shevet Levi was Hivdilu. Moshe and Aaron set aside the Levium and the Kohanim were set aside further. Ukamoshehu Milas Echad, sorry, I went up a line. Vehu Bifnei Atzmo, Keneged Ha'Aleph Shebe Echad. And Shevet Levi stands apart like the Aleph of the word Echad. Of course, it's connected to the Ches and the Dalet. There's a oneness to the whole team. But the Aleph represents Levi. V'aches neged b'nei ha'imahos. What does the Ches, 8, represent? The 8 tribes who are the children of who? Of the imahos. Shayu Ches Zulas Levi. The 8 tribes of who? Of Rachel and Leah. Leah had 6. Rachel had 2, Yosef and Binyamin. So the next 8 represent Yaakov's 2 primary wives, Leah and Rachel, and the 8 children that they bore, that they gave birth to. Va'od, Dalid, B'nei HaShvachos, and then Bilhah and Zilpah, the other two wives of Yaakov Avinu each had
two more children.
So that's the Dalit. Right? So what the Maharal is showing us is that even within the word Echad, you see there's some subdivision within Echad. Right? Each part of Echad, if you will, is unique, but it all comes together in this unified Echad. That's what the Maharal is saying. And that's Klal Yisrael. And our job as a tzibur, as an am zu b'gematria echad, understanding the division of echad, but also understanding the oneness and the unity of echad, is what, as the Pasuk said, tehilasi yisapero, is to sing the praise of Hashem. It's to teach the world that there's only one God. Iker tehilasi shehu yisbarach echad ve'ein zu lasa. And that's the greatest praise we can give to Hashem. To show that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem echad. Whether it's Hashem or whether it's Elokeinu, the different names of God, Midas HaChesed, Midas HaDin, when things go well in life, when things look bad in life, right? When there are people in the world who seem good and people who seem evil, it's all part of Hashem's singular master plan. Everything is individually unique, but it's all part of an unbelievable oneness. V'aldavar zeh nivru b'tchilas b'riyasam, and that's exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended it from the beginning. That this nation, Klal Yisrael, will be the ones to testify to the oneness of Hashem. As the Medrash says, that's our job. Our job is to testify to the oneness of Hashem. Okay? Everyone good so far? Okay. The Yesod HaAvoda was the first Slonim Rebbe. Let's jump down to source number 5. And the Yesod HaAvoda, the first Lama Rebbe, starts to help us think about this. Again, I've already sort of put it out there, but in terms of ourself, to be able to understand the uniqueness of our individual lives, again, the Rabbi Nachman was talking from the perspective of Hashem. Hashem doesn't do the same thing twice. But the example he gave was Hashem's creation of us. That even when Hashem brings a neshama back to this world, he does it in a unique way. So let's think about it now, again, from our perspective. And again, this is a piece of Torah that you can meditate over. By meditate over, I mean like really think about it. When life just feels repetitive and monotonous and you feel like stuck in just, you know, the same pattern of waking up and going through the same activities every day, this can inject a tremendous hischadshus into life. And again, it's a very fitting way to start the second semester together. Right to the Yesod HaAvoda in source number 5. Hine ha'ri kosov. Shekol yom vayom v'sha'a v'sha'a ina doma kol achas v'achas l'chaverta. Mi yom b'riyas adam v'hal'a. From the time that the world was created. The Arizal says we have to think about the fact that no 2 days are alike. No 2 hours are alike. Right? No, there's no experience that's doma l'chaverta, that is comparable to its mate. Every second in time, again, it's easy to think about it from a time perspective, right? Meaning literally from 1 second ago to right now is a unique moment in time. I feel I'm the same person, I'm sitting in the same seat, I'm learning the same sefer, it's still the same shir, it's the same day, it's the same calendar date that it was a minute ago, right? But it's a different moment in time, it's a different second in time. So the Rizal says, think about that. And think about it from the perspective of Adam. Ve'ein Adam echad yachol etakein ma shechaveiro metakein. And therefore, you might be chavrusas, you might be best friends, you might be blood relatives, siblings, but every person is working on something else. And if you're not going to be you, there's no one who could fill in for you. That's not supposed to feel like a burden, that's supposed to feel like an awesome privilege. That you're on a very unique mission in this world. And it's not, if I don't show up for shir, someone else will show up for shir. That doesn't give the full tilasi yisapero. That doesn't give the full praise to Hashem. Because if one person's not doing his mission, then there's no one who could fill in for that. His mission is unique. It's entirely unique to that individual. Just pause here for a second and turn to source number 9, the second to last source. I remember when I was your age, learning here in YU, I heard a shir from Rav Meir Goldvich Shlita. And he quoted this Tfasemes. I think we mentioned it in the past. Tfasemes in Parshas Korach. Shnas Tafresh Mem Zayin. The Ger Rebbe, the Tfasemes. Tfasemes writes in Parshas Korach, in the name of his grandfather, the first Ger Rebbe, the Chedushe Harim. He writes where it's bolded. My grandfather explained The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Im ein ani li mili. What do those words mean, my friends? Im ein ani li. Reb Gabe, what does it mean? Im ein ani li mili. If I'm Im ein ani li, then mili. If I'm not going to be for me, who's going to be for me? What's the Pashup Shot? The Pashup Shot is more Bava Kama, right? It's about personal responsibility. It's about if I'm going to not go get a job and I'm going to expect other people to pay for my life, then I'm making a terrible mistake. I have to advocate for myself. I can't assume that other people are going to take care of me. I have to take personal responsibility. If my ox wanders off and gores someone, that's my problem. I should have been paying better attention. The Pashup Shot in the Mishnah is that a person has an obligation to be self-centered in terms of personal responsibility. Of course, the end of that Mishnah is what? Kisha'ani la'atzmi ma'ani. If I become entirely absorbed, self-absorbed, then what good am I? I have to see myself as part of a world. Part of a Klal Yisrael, part of a world. Right? It's an ethical teaching in Pirkei Avos. Take care of yourself, but don't become so self-absorbed that you don't pay attention to others around you. Be sensitive to others. Okay? It's Bava Kama, it's Mamish, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Mishpatim from beginning to end. However, explained the Chiddush HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, on a spiritual level, Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li means, Ki Kol Adam Nivra L'Takein Davar Miyuchad. Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li means, no one can be you. No one can do your spiritual mission in this world. Your shlichus is yours, period. Well, if I mess up, I could always come back. You're not going to be exact the same. It's not going to be the exact same mission if you come back. It'll be related to the previous mission, as we learned. But it will never be the exact same thing. Right? The mincha you're going to daven today is a once-in-a-history opportunity. That's a good way to get a little more focus when you're davening. It's not just another mincha. It's the only mincha that will ever be davened in that time, in that place, by that soul. That's an amazing idea. How do you want to leave your stamp on the time stamp of history? It's a little scary, but it's supposed to be inspiring. Again, ki kol adam nivra l'takin davar miyuchad she'ein acher yachol l'takin v'chein b'chol. Is a different, you know, using the words again of the chida, a different spiritual spark that needs to be elevated. And in a certain sense, it is now or never. There is no way to make up for, you know, right? Like the Gemara and the Mishnah talked about in Maseches Chagiga. If you miss saying Kriya Shema, if you missed an opportunity to daven, there are halachos of tashlumin, of making up tfilos, but there's also what the Mishnah calls, based on a pasuk in Koheles, me'uvas lo yuchal liskon, a crooked thing, a bent thing that can't be straightened out. Try taking a paper clip, yeah, and unfolding it, and then like trying to put it back. You can get it like sort of into the right shape. It's very hard to get it exactly back into the right shape. It's very hard, right? So that's what Shlomo Melech meant when he said a crooked thing can't be made straight again. Once it's bent, it's very hard to flatten it out entirely. If you fold the paper and then you want to smooth out the crease, it's very hard to get it perfect again. It'll never be exactly the same that it once was. Again, how this works with tshuva is something to think about, right? Correcting mistakes of the past. But in terms of again the linear flow of life, we have to look at every opportunity as entirely unique. And that's in Ein Ani Li Mi Li, spiritually. If I'm not going to be true to myself, then there's no one who could fill in for me. Let's learn a piece from the Chafetz Chaim in source number 7. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Chafetz Chaim al Torah in Parshas Re'eh, one of my favorite pieces in the Sefer. Banim atem la'ashem alokechem. Lo sisgodidu. Typo. I typed this by hand. I made a mistake. It says lotis goru. It's supposed to be lotis go to do. That's the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Perek Yudalid. Losis go to do. Okay. Says the Medrash. The Medrash yelamdenu. Losis go to do. Lo saasu agudos agudos. Vitiyu chalukim elu al elu. Banim atem l'Hashem lokechem. You're all the children of Hashem. We're all brothers. We're all siblings. We're all related. And therefore, lo tizgodidu, right? Don't don't what? Don't make agudot agudot. Don't make different clusters. Don't say, well, you know, I went to Reshit and you went to Shraga and you went to Leva Torah, so like we can only be friends to such a degree. Lotus go to do. Don't create these arbitrary walls of division. Rav Kook hated labels. Rav Kook wrote in one place about how destructive it is to label things. Because what do you need to put a box on? Why do you have to say I'm this to the exclusion of that? How does that help? Now on a practical level we understand why people do that. Right? On a functional utilitarian level, we understand why people sometimes put themselves in a particular box. The schedule for a student in BMP is different than a schedule for a student in YP. But is it really necessary to call ourselves by different names in different programs? Maybe it's better to be part of one yeshiva. Maybe it's just part of Klal Yisrael. Rav Kook didn't like, he felt the more labels creates more what? More division, more pirud, more separation. So that's a pasuk in the Torah. You're all the children of Hashem. Lo sis godudu, says the Medrash. Lo sasu agudot agudot. Don't make agudos agudos. Don't make different gatherings, different clusters. To the point that you're chalukim elu al elu, where it just creates divisiveness. It's not helpful. What does it literally mean? It literally means don't gash yourself. Right, but the Medrash is saying godudu in the context of. The context of the pasuk is in the context of mourning, that a person who's mourning their loss, right, shouldn't inflict bodily harm. It's not a Jewish way to mourn, right? When a person you know cuts himself as a mean of like expressing pain, right, it was a very pagan idea. So the Torah says, realize that even if you, God forbid, lost a parent, lost a sibling, lost a spouse. Remember, and this is how the Ibn Ezra, I think, explains the pasuk, Banam atam l'Hashem lokechem. Your greatest relative, God, is still alive and well, and therefore, of course, you have to mourn. It's appropriate to cry. You sit shiva, there are halachos of how we mourn, but don't go so far as to what? As to start inflicting bodily harm upon yourself. Don't gash yourself. Lo says go to do. Why? Because that's going too far. That's not realizing that despite your loss, you still have something very alive and most important in your life, and that's Hashem. And that's going to give you the strength to get through your hard time. Yeah?
Side note, do you think that's why we have such an intensive mourning process so we don't do that?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a very specific framework where halacha says immerse yourself in the intensity of the mourning. And there's also very clear halachos which say pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and it's time to move on. And halacha demands that. And a certain level, halacha demands that we say, you know, ad kan, you're not allowed on some level, to express signs of mourning, right? Whether it's the inability to express outward signs of mourning on Shabbos or Yom Tov, right? Whether it's certain ways that communal joy, like a Yom Tov, can cancel Shiva, whether it's the halachos of just getting back to the regular routine, which is not only encouraged from a psychological standpoint, but there are halachos that push a person forward, right? And the Gemara that talks about a woman who is mourning too much, and one of the Tanaim Amoraim, I don't remember who it was, said to her, if you continue to cry, God's going to give you something to cry about. You're going to end up losing more relatives. You need to know how to pick yourself up and move on with your life. So there's a very balanced way that Hashem wants us to face our loss. But again, Chazal understood, don't make agudot, right? By cutting yourself, you're dividing your flesh. So also realize that you and I are one flesh, even though we're two separate bodies. But there's a oneness to us. Don't create pirud amongst the Jewish people. So one time the Chafetz Chaim was asked the following question. One time Nishal Chafetz Chaim Zatzal Me'ish Hamoni Echad. A certain Ish Hamoni means like a simple person asked the Chafetz Chaim, Bishvil Ma V'Lama Zaku Ka'olim L'Chazidim U'misnagdim. A simple person once asked the Chafetz Chaim, why are there so many different types of Jews? You have Chasidim, you have Misnagdim. V'afilu Chasidim Gufa. Mistafim lakama v'kama se'ifim. And even amongst the Hasidim, there are many, many divisions. Halalu mevachrim es halimud ala tefillah. Some put an emphasis on learning over davening. V'halalu mispalim harbe v'lom d'ma'at. Some daven much longer and learn somewhat less. Some emphasize this type of learning. Some emphasize that type of learning. Some emphasize this type of avoda. Some emphasize that type of avoda. Some types of Hasidis are very serene and some are very outwardly filled with expressions of joy. Right? Some are very insular, and some focus a lot on outreach. So the Chofetz Chaim was asked, why are there so many different types of Jews? Halalo oskim b'shira v'zimra v'halalo b'rikudim asukim. Some are involved in music, and some are involved in dance. Right? In other words, he's asking, why are there so many different types of Jews in the world? If Hashem is one, and we're the ones who are supposed to, like we learned from the Maharal, teach the world about the God, Hashem's oneness, so how do you have so many different types of Jews? And kulam ahuvim, kulam kedoshim, you know, they're all important. So the Chafetz Chaim said back to him, I don't really understand your question so much. Where it's bolded. V'alze ano Chafetz Chaim zatzal. The Chafetz Chaim responded b'metech sifasav, with his very sweet way of expressing himself. Adja'ata shoaleini al hakitot ba'ameinu. Before you ask about the clusters, the groups amongst our people, so let's ask a more simple question. One that doesn't have such a spiritual dimension to it. Leich v'sha'al es ha-kesar harusi. Go ask the Russian czar, b'shvil ma v'lama lo kama minim chayalim. Why do you have so many different types of soldiers? What does he mean? Holchei regel, you have foot soldiers. Rochvim al susim, you have those who ride on horses. Yorim b'totachim, you have those who shoot the cannons. Yeah? Why do you have an army? And why do you have a navy? And why do you have an air force? Right? Now, Chavre, it's very obvious to us what the answer to that question is. Why do you have so many different types of soldiers? What would be so bad, the Chofetz Chaim said, if you just had one type of soldier? Well, it's very obvious. It's very obvious that when you're fighting a war, you need to be able to fight on different fronts. You need to have different techniques. You need to have different, you need to formulate different military strategies. So the Chofetz Chaim said, the same thing is true about the spiritual war that Klal Yisrael are fighting. We need to have unique, individualized soldiers, each one with a specific mission. We need an army, we need a navy, we need an air force, we need Breslovers, and we need Chabadniks, and we need Misnagdim, and we need Chasidim, and we need people who emphasize learning, and people who emphasize davening. And each person has to look at his own individual neshama, because Hashem doesn't make the same thing twice, and figure out, and it's not so easy to do, but figure out, what is my unique avoda in this world? What is my unique avoda in this moment in time? Says the Chofetz Chaim, where it's bolded, last four lines, Kein adavar v'melchemes hayetzer, kol akitot, all of the groups, shalach hasidim l'mineyem, yachadim v'mesnagdim, kulam chayalim b'gadud Hashem. We are all soldiers in Hashem's army. Do the army and the navy and the air force need to coordinate? Do they need to work as one? Of course they do. But they also have to focus on their individual missions. And that's what we're learning today. Almost a paradoxical idea that the fact that we're all on a different mission has to work hand in hand with the fact that we're all on the same mission. And that's an expression of Hashem making everything unique, and yet everything really just being the same thing, namely, Ein Od Movada. There's nothing besides Hashem, period. The scariest thought, maybe, that a person could have is getting to the Olam HaEmes, is getting to the world of truth at the end of a lifetime. I'm talking about a person who cares, a person who worked hard spiritually in this world. Getting to the Olam HaEmes and being so proud of your efforts and your accomplishments in this world, and sitting down for a chat with a Kodesh Baruch Hu and God saying, you failed. And you not being even able to understand, in what way did I fail? I really thought I did an amazing job. That's the worst feeling. If you know you did a bad job, you know you failed the test, and then you get the failing grade, that's one thing. But if you walk out of the test with a big smile on your face, and you think you aced the test, and then you get it back and you got a 43, right? You say, what's wrong with me? How did I totally, you just feel like, how was I so off? That itself is a very painful experience. The Nesiv HaShalom writes in Parshas Re'eh, in source number 8, he quotes from the Sefer Torah Avos, which is a collection of Slonim Torah teachings, that it's possible that a person comes to the Olam HaEmes, and you sit down for a conversation with Hashem, and you think you did great, and you failed. How does that happen? Scary idea. It's a very important idea. I'm very fond of this idea. It's very, very important, this idea. In source number 8, it's possible for a person to the next world. La'achar arich, after a long life, va'osak b'torah va'avoda, And he came to shir every day. And he never missed the davening. And he worked hard on tikkun amidos. And he worked hard on conquering his yetzer hara. And he thought he did a really great job. And he's asked, what did you do in that world? And he thinks the question is like, wow, let's talk about all your success. But the question is a rhetorical one, right? As you can see, I added a question mark and an exclamation point. Right? So the way to read it is, ma asisa upa'alta b'lamhaza. What on earth did you just do in that world? And you're shocked. What do you mean? What did I do wrong? Hare kol ma sha'asisa lo haya b'inyin ha'nidrash mimcha. You spent your whole life trying to be something that you're not. This is a very delicate and important point. I say it's delicate because we can make excuses and say, well, I'm not meant to be, I know myself. I'm not meant to be a rabbi. I'm not meant to learn in Kollel. I'm not meant to finish Shas. I'm not meant to, you know, to go to Minyan. It just doesn't, it's not for me. Right? You can make a lot of excuses and say, I know myself well. You have to be careful not to sell yourself short. But you also have to be realistic in knowing your neshama and not look at your friend or your Rebbe from Shana Aleph and say, I'm just going to copy everything that he does. And then I'll be a good Jew. Because Hashem is saying, no, I have him already. I don't need another version of him. I made you to be you, not to be him. Says the Nesiv HaShalom, Hare kol ma'asher asisa lo haya b'inyan ha'nidrash mimcha. Everything you did was not what was always demanded of you. You were just mimicking someone else the whole time. Shahaya alecha lifal b'matar ha'ikarit shalacha. You should have done your mission in this world. And you were so busy trying, you know, pretending to be a shechter or something. It's a good role model. But you have to learn from tzaddikim, you have to learn from gedolim, you have to learn from tamidei chachamim, and you have to then have a conversation with yourself and figure out, how do I apply this to me? What does it have to do with my individual existence? V'teva adam she'ino muchan lasos devarim shalama'anam hu tzarech l'mesiras nefesh lahakiv l'msor es kol ha'yeshus shalom. And it's very difficult sometimes for a person to have that clarity. The Kotzker Rebbe used to say a famous line. The Kotzker Rebbe said, If I am I and you are you, then I am truly I and you are truly you. Right? But if I am you and you are me, or something like that, I don't know the I's and the me's, yeah, then I'm not really myself and you're not really yourself. Right? Meaning, we could spend our whole life just copying each other. So I become like a bad version of Elliot Fuchs, and Elliot Fuchs becomes a bad version of Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. And then we both get to the Olam Emes, right? And Hashem says, like, you never, him ain't on ili mili. You didn't look at yourself. Of course, I'm inspired by Elliot, and he's inspired by me. And we're good friends, and we learn a lot from each other, right? But there has to be this willingness to say, okay, I'm not him, and he's not me. And we have different strengths, and we have different struggles, and we have different opportunities. And no two people are... You're going to go sit with your chavrusa now and learn the first mission of the sixth parak. You're going to learn it in a different way because your life's experience, your trajectory up to that point makes it a unique experience that you're sharing together. But it's also a unique experience. And you have to be able at the end of the day to be prepared at the end of your life to say, Hashem, I really looked internally. I looked deep. I understood the unique way which you created me because you don't do the same thing twice. As my Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman of Breslau, Zechus Yagen Aleinu, taught me on this particular day and time, and I owned it, and I lived up to my life. We'll just end with the final source. It's a famous line that Revolbi brings in the first volume of the Ali Shor, but it's a famous conversation between Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, and his Talmud, of Naftali Amsterdam. Uma na'im mashem super al talmido hamuvak shol Rav Yisrael Misalant. I hope you've heard of Rav Yisrael Salanter. Rav Yisrael Salanter was the founder of the Musar movement, and he had a Talmud named Rav Naftali Amsterdam, who loved his Rebbe. And in many ways, he wanted to be like his Rebbe. As every Talmud wants to be like his Rebbe. But you have to do it in a healthy way. Sha'omar Pam L'Rabba, once in a very honest moment, he said to his Rebbe, Rebbe, Ilu hayali mochel shabal shagas aryezal. If Hashem would have just given me the intellectual abilities of the shagas arye, shaya harif atzum, right? Shagas arye was a tremendous genius. If I had the intellectual abilities of the shagas arye, V'libo shabal yesod v'shorash avoda. If I had the heart, the depth of the heart, of the emotional experience of the yesod v'shorash avoda. U'midos av shal rabo. And I had your midos, Rabbi. Rabbi Saul Salanter was known for his character, his sterling character, amongst many other things. So if I had the Shagas Aryeh's brain and the yesod v'shorash avoda's heart, and I had your midos, oz yacholti la'avod la'Hashem. Then I could be a good Eved Hashem. But unfortunately, I have Naftali Amsterdam's brain, and I have Naftali Amsterdam's heart, and I have Naftali Amsterdam's parents, and I have Naftali Amsterdam's, you know, education, and I have Naftali was a gadol, but he felt, compared to my Rebbe, I don't know how to serve Hashem, I'm nobody. V'heishav lo Rebbe Yisrael, Yisrael Salanter said back to him, Naftali, b'moach shalcha, uvalev shalcha, uvamidos shalcha, tuchal gam kein lios eved Hashem amiti. With your brain, you don't think Hashem could have given you a smarter brain? Hashem could give you a smarter brain. Hashem could give you a different emotional makeup. Hashem could have given you different midos, different things that you're, you know, able to fix more easily. But Hashem gave you exactly where you're supposed to be. You were born to the right parents at the right time, exactly the perfect situation. You went to the right yeshivas, and even though we sometimes look back and say, I wish I would have, right? You're exactly, in this moment in time, you're exactly where you need to be. Now your job is just to choose to own it. This is the ultimate expression of the freshness of the holiness within man. That he should know that he's able to serve Hashem, says Rav Volbi, b'moach shalom, b'libo shalom, b'midoso shalom. So my bracha to all of us as we begin a new zman, a totally new zman. Every day is going to be a new zman. Every second is a new zman. But to really, to try to internalize this idea, we're counting on every individual. I'm really counting on every individual here to be an individual in our shir, and to be a leader in our yeshiva, and to be someone who understands the value of every opportunity that we're given, not to look back and say, I would have, I should have, I could have, I'm graduating YU, and I only, you don't have to have that drusha when you graduate YU about all the things you should have done or you could have done. Everyone's going to have that drusha on some level because that's in all of life. We could have been more present, and we weren't. But try to understand you have exactly the abilities that you need to be a successful Eved Hashem in this world. All right? Yes?
Here's, I guess, the very easy question, which is probably hard to answer. How do we figure out what our individual mission is?
It's a great question.
Yeah,
that's a great question. All right, how does one figure it out along the way? I mean, how do I read this piece from the Yeshiva Shalom and not just panic? Maybe I'm living a lie. Maybe my whole life is not what it's supposed to be right now. Yeah, it takes a lot of very deep and honest introspection. I have a share on 5 or 6 different techniques how to figure out one's individual mission in the world. Should we do it tomorrow? I could do it tomorrow. Should we do that share tomorrow? Maybe we should do that share tomorrow. Yeah, we've spoken about it in the past. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Let's do that tomorrow. It's. I don't know like why we wouldn't. It's a very significant question. Different ways for a person to self-assess that question. And again, different techniques. And it's not any one of them that's more right than the other. It's a combination of all of them. And I'm sure there's many other ways to think about it also. Okay, so Mirtzashim tomorrow. We'll have a share on how does one figure out. Again, we're not given our mission statement. It's not attached to our toe when we come to this world. So how do I know what I'm supposed to do? Okay, so we'll pick up with that tomorrow. Okay.